So visual methods, mechanical or muscle-powered methods, we're going to kind of change gear a little bit now, pardon that, and talk about mechanical systems, in particular the optical telegraph, developed by Claude Chappet, who was the son of a nobleman in France, not a very good pedigree to have in this period of time during the French Revolution. He was also a priest, which was not a very good thing to be either. He decided to get out of that business, and he turned into one of our first examples of a defense contractor. He proposed to the French Assembly the ability, his idea for a communication system based on an optical telegraph, a horizontal beam called the regulator, which on the ends have two positionable secondary beams, which are called indicators. And from this, by the way, this could be placed at various variations on 45-degree angles, you can encode a very complex alphabet. And he so succeeded in convincing the French Assembly that this was a useful thing to do that they invested significant amount of money to build such a system to communicate from Paris to the borders of France, which at that time was to protect France against the invasion of the monarchists from other neighboring countries. You might notice that he died in 1805, and there's a little story associated with that, which turns out to be a common history of inventors in communications. He didn't get paid for his invention. He spent whatever wealth he had in building out the system on the behest of the French government, first the French revolutionaries and then Emperor Napoleon. But in doing so, he sort of bankrupted himself. Many other people came along and said, hey, I invented that thing, you didn't invent it. And he had to fight them in various legal systems, and he became so despondent by the entire process that he decided to take his own life in 1805. Fortunately for France, he had a gaggle of brothers who continued to run the franchise of the communication system. In 1799, when Napoleon took over the reins of government in France, he used this system to communicate throughout France, and he sent the message, Paris is quiet and the good citizens are content. So whoever controls the reins of communication controls the nation. And that was first demonstrated in 1799. They built this system so that it stopped not just at the edge of France, but it went into France's possessions at the time, into Belgium, into Italy. By 1853, the French like a thing when they see it, and they are loath to give it up. They continued using the system well into the middle of the 19th century, when there were many other forms of communication available, like the electrical telegraph, operating at orders of magnitude faster speed. By the 1853, over 3,000 miles of these optical telegraph lines were in place in France. There were 556 stations and something like 3,000 people employed in running this. These show some of the stations at the earlier part of the 19th century in some on the outskirts of Paris. They were always placed on the top of hillsides to have the greatest line of sight available. Here is a jury-rigged temporary setup optical telegraph site. This is a plate from the Crimean War, which took place in the 1850s. These things were taken into the field of battle and used as communication systems that could be rapidly set up and used to communicate to the troops from the commanders in the rear areas.
What was the baud rate?
The baud rate was sort of a character every 20 to 30 seconds. So it was not a fast system. There are a lot of things which are really fascinating about the details of how this system was put together that I could spend hours talking about. The details of the coding, the way the system was booted in the morning. In the morning, what would happen is a sort of a recognition character or sequence of characters would leave Paris and go along the lines to the end. When it reached the end, they would turn around and be reflected back. So the people in Paris would know that the whole system was up and operating across the whole system. Also, they didn't trust the operators with secret messages that might be sent across the system. So while the operators along the intermediate sites knew how to position the arms and what the signaling protocol was, they didn't know what the signals actually meant. And this was to keep it secret. And there's examples of at least one recorded incident in history where at sort of major combinations of trunking lines, there were sort of officials of the telegraph company who were there who did understand what the signals meant. Some cartel of businessmen had bribed that guy to get the code book. And so they were able to obtain information faster than their competitors and use this to advantage in speculative markets of the time. So business evil follows the communications as well.
And so, how long did it take for a message to get from, say, I don't know, the Mediterranean to Paris?
To go from Mediterranean to Paris, a message of, let's say, 20 words or, you know, several sentences would probably take 3 hours or something like that. This, compare that to the time it would take for someone to hop on their horse and ride from Marseille to Paris. So this was like a revolution, even though compared to today's signaling systems, it's incredibly slow. But each character was acknowledged step by step as it moved through the system. All kinds of things were done in a very slow fashion. So, electrical methods.